people take you more seriously because you have a big microphone.
The Scarab Swarmcast is recorded, mixed, and produced at Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze in Columbia, South Carolina. Mostly. Scarab is the South Carolina area role players and board gamers convention held annually in Columbia, South Carolina on MLK weekend for 4 days. The Scarab Swarmcast podcast is hosted by and features many of the Scarab staff and guests. Views and opinions expressed on this show usually come from a random D20 chart or an FAQ found on the web somewhere, and usually don't reflect anything any sane person would or should think. Ah, I'm Toast, your kobold announcer. And now, here's your host, John Middles!
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Swarmcast. Thank you for that wonderful intro, Toast.
Whatever.
Boy, do we have an exciting episode for you today. We've got some dogs in capes, 50 ways to roll test your dice so that you can get the optimal rolls out of them, interviews with folks who like to design things for gaming with spreadsheets, and wacky gaming camp songs that you can sing at work. I can't do this. I can't do this.
What's up with you?
Can't. I don't know, Toast. It's just, this is the first episode of the fourth season of the Swarmcast. I really thought that we'd start it off better.
Better? Like how?
Well, with more of a bang, I guess. We had, what, three amazing seasons?
Well, maybe more like what, two. Huh? Nothing. Yeah, three amazing seasons.
I just wanted this one to start off like, I don't know, like Smokey and the Bandit 2.
What are you talking about?
You know, we'd start with Dell coming to you and saying, I need this Swarmcast toast. I need the madman back.
Madman?
Yeah, we established that in one of the earlier episodes, right?
Meh.
And you'd be like, bleh. He's been out of the biz for years.
More like months.
I'll see what I can do. Then you'd force your way into my house, find me face down on the floor in a pile of NPC codecs and gaming supplements with a stench of steel dice on my breath and an adventure sense scattered on the floor. We'd cut to a montage of you getting me back into shape, putting gaming books on shelves, reorganizing my PDF, prime miniatures, timing how fast I could put a dice tower together.
2 seconds.
You know, that sort of thing. Then it would end with me putting on my cowboy hat and sunglasses, hopping into the Trans Am with my podcast gear ready to pick up Sally Field and get that elephant delivered to Dallas.
Elephant? Trans Am? Well, you've really lost it, man. What the heck is wrong with you?
Toast. There's just only one way I can think to describe it to you.
Oh, no, don't sing
a
song.
I hope you can understand.
Don't
sing. Let me lay it down for you like this.
Do it.
When I started this podcast, all we needed was the laugh. Years gone by, I'd say we've kicked some ass. When I'm enraged or hitting the stage, adrenaline rushing through my veins, I'd say we're still kicking ass. Ooh, kickstart my heart, hope it never stops. And to think we did all this to rock. Oh, yeah. Kickstart my heart, give it a start. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Kickstart my heart, hope it never stops. Oh, yeah, baby. We got a great show lined up for you. We got Chris O'Neill from Ninth Level Games. He's going to be talking about their company and their new Kickstarter Knuckle Sandwich. Ruby and I are going to get talk about some of our personal Kickstarter experience as well. The good, the bad, and Cthulhu Wars. I chatted up at XCon with a new friend, game designer Vincent Baker. No, not that Dogs in the Vineyard guy. The designer of Otherworlds, Spellslingers, the man behind Vindicated Entertainment. Heck, I'm going to stop by a little later to give you the lowdown, the nitty-gritty on the upcoming Scarab Game Days you've all been looking forward to. Right now, let's get it on. Let's get it started in here. We're talking about Kickstarters, crowdfunders, and those India go-go-go-goes!
Can't stop my heart.
All hail King Torg.
All hail King Torg.
What? Who is this? Somebody is here recording with me. Why, it's none other than Chris O'Neill with Ninth Level Games. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, John. It's good to talk to you. I always know at least you are going to shout All Hail King Torg. So
All hail King Torg. Sorry, I didn't want to over yell anything.
Sure. Recently we have a new Kickstarter and we're doing some things, and in our bios listed myself as, you know, Chris the shouter of things, and a friend of mine was like, that is the most accurate description of you I've ever heard. The shouter of great things.
Kickstarter. What's this Kickstarter you're talking about? He asked, pretending to not know.
Yes, in a setup. He said as a setup. Right now, Ninth Level Games is doing a Kickstarter for a new card game called Knuckle Sandwich. This is our third Kickstarter. So we previously did Kickstarter for the Kobold Ate My Baby. Bringing that back, and then we did one last year for Schrodinger's Cats, and this is a card game that features the Kobold and King Torg in a knockdown drag-out lunch. So the object of the game is to eat as many sandwiches as you can without getting eaten by the other players or by the king. And it features, of course, the art of John Kowalik, which everybody loves, including us, and we love working with John. And the game's actually, we had an earlier version of the game that was available for a little while. And this new version is about twice the size, and it is, we're real, real happy with the visual look. And the Kickstarter runs until June 22nd, 2016. And anybody can reach it, even after, if you're listening to this in the far future, at tinyurl.com/9LGSammich, S-A-M-M-I-C-H. So that's got a nice little redirect. So tinyurl.com/9LGSammich.
Sandwich. Awesome.
Yeah, it's real important. The game's not called Knuckle Sandwich. It's called Knuckle Sandwich.
That makes sense.
Sure.
That's what we all called those things growing up.
Yeah, give me a Knuckle Sandwich.
Give you a Knuckle Sandwich.
We were talking with some our Italian friends that were discussing potentially translating kobolds into Italian. But also interested in Knuckle Sandwich. And apparently in Italian, they say fist burger.
Oh, I love that.
And in Denmark, the expression is a... I just lost it. Hammuller, which is a hand snack.
Huh.
But if you were to say, I gave him a Hahnmuller, it would be, if it was on, hand me that Hahnmuller, would be like, hand me that small sandwich. But if I gave him a Hahnmuller, it would mean I smacked him in the face.
Excellent. Well, that's kind of what Knuckle Sandwich is.
Right, that's the point, right?
So that's awesome.
You can't actually get a sandwich, you know? A cultural idiom. So.
Well, as of the recording of this, within the first 72 hours, the game has funded on Kickstarter. Isn't that, I believe that's correct.
Yeah, we asked for $9,000 and we raised it in a little under 72 hours. So, right. As I posted earlier today, only 468 hours to go.
Yeah. So for those of you who are listening to this and are reluctant to back something because you don't know if it's going to fund, this is funded.
It's funded.
Yeah, throw more money.
We're making sandwiches. We're making sandwiches for everybody.
Right. So
right now we're just, we're going to try to, the more copies of it that we can make, the easier it is for us to do some cool stuff with it. It allows us to increase the components, do some special things for the Kickstarter. Definitely if you're interested, you should definitely check it out. And I mean, it's $19. So it's not a crazy amount of money for what we think is a really fun game.
Yeah, you can't beat that for a nice quick fun card game.
Yeah, in a box, you know, with nice components and tokens and everything.
Knuckle Sandwich.
Yeah.
You had brought it to Scarab a couple years ago, I want to say.
Yeah, actually, that was the first time we ever sold the Ashcan version of it.
Right. So
it was like 2013.
That sounds about right.
Three or four years ago, we had just finished the Knuckle Sandwich or the Kobolds Ate My Baby camp.
The print had just come out for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we were doing the Kobolds Ate My Baby campaign, we were looking for fun stretch goals, and it was kind of a more woolly time on Kickstarter. Like the rules weren't really established yet. Nobody really knew what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And we'd always wanted to do a card game, so we decided we would just like make a goal for ourselves and be like, hey, if we reach this goal, we'll make a little card game. We've had some ideas and, you know, we'll see what happens, kind of to give ourselves an excuse. And so we started out with this game, this like pretty basic game that started out from some ideas we had from playing Love Letter. And we made this tight little game that was pretty simple and pretty straightforward, but really kind of captured the flavor of Kobolds. And after we played it and we started doing it, so let me make an aside here. So one of the things about Ninth Level that kind of, I think, sets us apart from a lot of other people is that we're not just in the hobby, right? Like, so we're trying to make great stuff and stuff that we're really proud of, but we're also just as interested in trying to be successful at this as a business. And I know that sounds kind of weird, and a lot of people don't want to say that, but we could have sat and we could have worked on Knuckle Sandwich for years and then done something. But I think there's a lot of value in an ash can, right? Which is, we're going to make this thing. It's not, you know, it's not a final production copy. You know, our original idea, you know, we were selling Knuckle Sandwich for like $9 or $10, you know, and it was just the cards in a plastic bag with a professional outlook, but not fully done. And that was really to play it with people, right? And when you play it with people, people's first question is can I buy this? So we wanted to say yes to that because I hate not taking people's money when they want to give it to me. And so we started out, and for a while we were like, okay, yeah, Knuckle Sandwich is kind of fun. And we kind of did some twisting and turning with it. And then we really started to realize that there were some things we could change that would make the game better. And then the game started to grow. And then one day we looked at it and we went, wow, this is actually really good. Like, this is, it's evolved. And we think the new version and the version that we're doing on Kickstarter, the graphically, I think it's super strong. The gameplay is super fast. It's really fun. It captures kind of the silliness of Kobolds, but it's just a very simple, easy to get card game. And, you know, people seem to be responding to it. When we've taken it, you know, so for, we stopped selling the ash can like 6 months ago to switch over to, you know, final development on this and prep for the Kickstarter. And people that have played both versions are just like, wow, this game is, it's so much better. And it's so much more fun. And I liked the original game, you know, the original game was kind of tight and this one's, it looks great. And you know, it's just fun. That's all I can really say about it.
I'm looking forward to it. Just the previews from the cards themselves. You're right. It just pops a lot more and looks like it's going to be a lot more fun to play.
I've learned a lot about layout in the last couple of years, having done a couple of books now and laid out a couple of different things. Mm-hmm. So we're really proud of how it looks. You know, I think it really shows off John's art at a great level because it really brings it to the forefront. But the cards are just really well designed and they're just very clear. We spent a lot of time to make sure that the rules are very straightforward. It doesn't require a lot of explanation. And I think the visual style, you know, before it was like the point of the game was how few cards could we put in it. And now it was like, you know what, let's take that condition away. Because before we were trying to make it like a print and play, right? Like make it real simple and real easy. And then we started to realize the game would be more fun if it could do other things and there was crazier stuff that went on. And there were more choices. And so that allowed us to kind of open it up. And that's how we get to the game as it stands right now. And there are some ridiculous cards in the game.
Ridiculous before or now? Because there were some silly ones before.
Yeah, there were silly ones before. But one of the new elements in the game is King Torg can actually win, which, you know, means all the players lose. there's a completely valid strategy in the game if you've fallen behind to just fall back to your loyalty position and try to make King Torg win. So it is interesting when people discover, they're like, hey, I can't win. Wait a minute. I can make you not win. You know, and we took away a lot of the elements. We took away a lot of the cards before. There was a bunch of cards that were really designed, that were, they were kind of strategic. They were kind of like trying to figure out what someone else had, and they were like setting up. And we took some of that out in exchange for things that let you push people into decisions or where you have to kind of make choices. And we think that adds a lot to the gameplay, and it kind of drives things forward. And again, we let the art kind of work its way through for us. So sometimes we start with a piece of art and say, you know, what could this be? So, and you had asked the other day on the Kickstarter, you actually said, hey, I'd really like there to be plastic sandwiches.
I'll give you
a secret preview. We're going to announce this next week.
Ooh, okay.
We're doing a partnership with MeepleSource.
Oh, I love those guys.
Everybody does, right? They make great stuff. So they're doing an upgrade kit. So we'll have it on the Kickstarter. People will get it, and it'll be 34 bread meeples. so you'll get 20. It's 24 regular breads, and then 10 breads with crust that count as three sandwiches. And we're going to do a special card in that. So, like, it'll be an exclusive card and the upgrade bread. So, we're kind of excited. We had talked about actually having the game come with wooden tokens. Mm-hmm. But the cost difference, like, not everybody really cares about that. We were trying to keep the game. So, like, the MSRP is going to be $19, which we think is reasonable for the game. And then we'll have this upgrade kit if you want to get the extra piece. So we can have the best of both worlds. And it's been really, really nice working with the MeepleSource people. Cynthia in particular, she's been great.
Okay, because, you know, who doesn't want bread meeples? That's awesome.
And my thought was, is we were looking at having a maid, and then I went, there's no way that MeepleSource doesn't make something like this. and of course they did, so I ordered a bunch so we could use them and play with them ourselves. And then when I talked to MeepleSource, they were like, hey, we could also do ones with crust. It's like, okay, let's do that. That sounds great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and for people that, you know, want it, you know, I mean, I think the decision to make it an upgrade kit, you know, it doesn't burden the game. You can still get the game cheaply, but if you want the nicer pieces, you can get that. And if the Kickstarter continues to go as well as it is, we're going to upgrade some of the pieces. So we'll upgrade the Hungriest Kobold card, and we'll upgrade the King Torg card, which is, he like sits in the middle of the table because when he eats things, you give him sandwiches.
Okay.
And if he ever reaches 9 sandwiches, he wins the game. Right? So, because then he's full, and of course then lunch is over. Yeah, I mean, it's going real well so far. And, you know, we talk a lot with other game designers. We're very active here in Philadelphia with our local games design group, which kind of extends about up to New York, you know, and down into Maryland and Delaware. And, you know, people keep being like, wow, you're doing great. And it's like, yeah, you know, this isn't the first time we've done this, and people know what they're going to get. You know, there's an awful lot of people that were like, Well, you know, if Ninth Level's going to put something out, I like all their other stuff, so I guess I'll get this. You know, it makes things a little easier for us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So since you've kind of brought that up, to me it seemed like Schrodinger's Cat was really big for you guys. It seemed like you really took a lot that you learned from that first one, and you really amped it up, is what it seemed.
Yeah, we learned a lot, and you know, we did some different things with Schrodinger's, and it was our first card game, and there was a lot we had to learn about cards. We had to learn about manufacturing. Like, we knew a lot about books, so we were pretty happy with that. But when we did, like, the kobolds, like, Schrodinger's Cats, we had 2,000 backers, you know, so people spent more money on the kobolds one, but mm-hmm. it was a known entity. People knew what they were getting. It's like, you know, oh, I'm going to get 2 books, and, you know, they got a lot of stuff for their money, whereas with Schrodinger's, it was like, we have a game and we have a t-shirt. That's what we have. But we had, like, 2,000 backers. Part of that, honestly, is we found the right artist. Jane Stowe was really great to work with. The internet loves cats. It's super important.
Yeah.
I'd like to say it's because it's a really good game, but that's not really how things are successful on Kickstarter. What we're seeing, and this is great for us now, is now that the game's out there and it's on store shelves and people are buying it and playing it, they're recognizing that it's a really good game. And so it's almost sold out right now. We have to print more.
Oh wow.
So that's very exciting. We're trying to do it all so that we can print Knuckle Sandwich and Schrodinger's Cats at the same time. So
okay.
That saves us a bunch on shipping.
That makes sense. The ocean. That makes sense. Are you gonna have copies of Schrodinger's Cats to sell at Origins?
Yes.
Awesome.
If for no other thing, we will have them at Origins. That might be the end of them for a while. We'll definitely have them at Origins.
Okay. Because I admit, for shame, that I did not back Schrodinger's Cats.
It's totally okay, John. Okay.
But now I really want a copy of it.
It's really funny. We had a lot of mixed reactions, and Schrodinger's Cats is a little different than Kobolds. I mean, at the end of the day, because Schrodinger's Cats is really, it's really a gamer's game. It doesn't seem that way. Okay. Like all of Knuckle Sandwich in particular is a, you know, it's very much a Ninth Level, old school Ninth Level product, right? Like it's a great playable game, but that's not the reason that you play it. You play it because it's just, let's have a good time, right? Whereas Schrodinger's Cats is, some people get pulled in because they're like, oh my god, cute cats, and they're dressed as scientists, that's so funny. But then they play it and they're like, whoa, this game is for serious. This is like a for real game. This, I have to think. Oh wait a minute, there's strategy involved. Oh wait, so we do find that gamers, hardcore gamers, actually really, really like it. So it appeals to a casual market because of how it's presented, but hardcore gamers will keep going back to it. So,
okay. And it is funny because you mentioned, oh, the internet loves cats. It seemed like when it came out, there was maybe half a dozen or so cat card games. Also,
we literally launched on the same day as Exploding Kittens.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, I want to say that Kittens in a Blender had just ended or had ended.
Yeah, I think Kittens in a Blender was like, had been ended for like a week.
Right.
That was like a reprint. That was a reprint one. So, Kittens in a Blender has been out for a long time.
Yeah.
That's actually a decent game. If you've never played it, it's actually fun.
Oh, yeah, it is fun. I've borrowed a friend of mine's copy and played it, and ever since then, our local gaming store has not been able to keep a copy of it in the store.
Right.
Tons of copies of the expansion, but none of the base game.
They had problems keeping that in stock early on, and at one of the PAXs, my wife Heather, you know, who's also one of the partners in Ninth Level, she literally bought a case of Kittens in a Blender.
Wow.
But she was like, we'll give these out as gifts. We'll give these out as prizes at events.
Hey, yeah.
And you know, like, the fact that she bought 10 of them was super funny. She's like, I just bought a case. I was like, okay, sounds great. But we'll definitely have, you know, we'll have kobolds and more things to kill and eat, and we'll have Schrodinger's at Origins. We're going to have giant-sized knuckle sandwich. Yeah, we're making 10-inch cards, so it's really funny.
Oh, wow.
We'll have Food Truck Destruction Derby.
Awesome.
We're going to have a preview game of one of our things for next year. It's called 7 Minutes in Hell by a lovely designer, Doug Lewandowski. Doug made a game called Gothic Doctor, and he's worked on a couple of other games. He just had another game out called You're Fired, and this is a story game, so we'll have that at Origins as well. And we're hoping, I can't make a promise about this, but we're hoping to have some copies in an ash can, similar to how we did Knuckle Sandwich, of a game we're going to do next year called Barricades, which is a game of forest animals versus lumberjacks.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's real fun, by a great guy named Todd Walsh. So that we're probably going to do a Kickstarter for that in early 17.
Cool. So. It's really cool seeing you guys like have these other people whose games you're publishing and pushing out there.
Yeah, you know what? So if you had asked me if we were going to do that 3 years ago, I would have said no. We've always just been kind of focused on doing our own thing. We have, you know, we've always been like a small indie because we just wanted control. And then we started to get involved with a bunch of different groups and talking about games and playing other people's games, and we think that we're pretty good at running Kickstarters at this point. We know that we can do design and layout, and we're in a very interesting position where Ninth Level and the members of Ninth Level, so the four of us, myself, Dan, Heather, and Heather, we all bring something different to the equation. And as weird as this sounds to my voice, to my head every time I say it, we've been doing this for almost 20 years.
Wow.
So the first versions of Kobolds came out in 99, but we were writing games and publishing, you know, we were doing freelance work and working in the industry in 1996. So, okay. I mean, it's literally been 20 years.
Wow.
I've been working in the industry. And I mean, there was some time off there, you know, some time where we were focused on other things, but at this stage in the game, with what we know about the business and what we know about design, we're taking on more of a role as like a producer. Mm-hmm. So we're taking, when we see a really good design for a specific kind of game, it's like, oh, you know what? We can make that better, right? Like we can help you finalize, we can help you find the vision of that game. And we did that with Food Truck Destruction Derby. And for us, that was like, oh, yeah, we can actually do this. You know, we can do more of this. We don't have to write everything. You know, there's other things. So I think it's really exciting, and it's got us very exciting and excited. And hopefully we can do more of it, you know, kind of pull away from the day jobs and focus more on this. But
I'm pulling for you guys. Because it's always, yeah, I know. That's the gamer dream, I guess. Oh, I wish I could just do more of this than the thing I got to do to pay for my hobby or the thing
I'm interested in. I like money. I'm pro money in general. I like having a house. I like not being worried about, you know, paying the rent kind of thing.
Right.
But you know, at the end of the day, you know, this work is far more fulfilling. It's so much more awesome when I get to watch someone play my game than when, you know, I have a successful project done at work. It's much more rad, you know. I'll spend any amount of hours working on a game, whereas I get very frustrated with, you know, oh, let me do this for you again, sir. So I do think it is the gamer's dream. I think a lot of people don't realize how much work that means. You know, like, it's definitely not like it's any less work.
Right, but it's a labor of love at that point.
Yeah, it's definitely more fulfilling. It's I'll spend hours, you know, writing and drawing anyway. If that can buy me gin and tonics and sandwiches, then I'm all about that.
I haven't quite found a way to make what I do gaming wise profitable yet, on a monetary level. but nobody pays you to GM games.
Yeah, but they should. They should definitely pay you. I mean, I've watched you run games. I'm stoked to have you at Origins.
I'm excited to go to Origins. How have things been going for you?
Things are going great. Ninth Level's really starting to get its feet under itself. So we're kind of excited about where we're going. Schrodinger's Cats was a big success last year. Put that all to bed. And Knuckle Sandwich is 3 days into the Kickstarter. It's already funded.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking to elevate and escalate. We put out a story game earlier this year called Food Truck Destruction Derby. That is a ton of fun. It's silly, but we do silly. Brian Neff, who's the lead writer on that, will be at Origins. He'll be running it for us at Origins. And, we're working on a bunch of new things. We already have, like, another card game and a compilation of story games that we're going to do next year. We have a surprise we're going to do late this year that we're not going to tell anybody about.
Ooh.
That's secret tech. and we have some Kobold's books that we need to get done that we want to get into the mid-range. So usually we go to Origins every year. That's like our home con.
Mm-hmm.
And since 1999 or 2000, we've been doing this event called the Midnight Massacre. And every year we basically like write something for the massacre, and we spend enough time on that we usually turn it into some kind of book or something that we can give to people. 2 years ago we did a game of Torgs.
Yeah,
that was kind of fun. Last year we did episode 9, Star Wars parody, but with everything else going on we didn't get it into a book form. And then this year is called Save vs. Death, and it's a tribute to Gary Gygax and old school D&D modules. The primary writer on it is our good buddy Patrick Clapp, and Trick has done a lot of stuff for us. He wrote some of the stuff in The Warlock's Apprentice. He's very punny, and he is a great aficionado of old D&D modules.
Oh, that's very cool.
So there is, the sections of the game are the Room of Horrors. The breading of the giant chefs, the Isle of Bread, the town of Omelette, obviously. For a while there, we were talking about doing Ravenloaf, but we didn't get to Ravenloaf. So, but if anyone has ever played the Tomb of Horrors, they will be like, "Oh, this is from Tomb of Horrors." So that's kind of the point. There's a lot of really ridiculous things in it.
So there's no like kitchen on the Borderlands or something like that.
No, we had talked about years ago. We had done a Keep on the Borderlands joke, Sheep on the Borderlands.
Okay.
So we didn't want to run over that one again. Module B1, everyone's favorite.
So, is there anything else you want us to know, or that you want to say before we send you back into the wilds of Kickstarter and the internet, Chris?
Hopefully we'll get to see everybody out at conventions, come out to Origins. We're always there. And then after that, the next con we'll be at is DexCon. I threw it out to everybody. There were some, questions about coming out to some different shows. January's gotten pretty hot. There's competition. So, yeah,
but we're better, right? What is there something we can do?
WarpCon in Ireland.
See?
That was real hard to say no to.
Yeah. I mean, if they asked me to come out to Ireland to go to a convention, I'd say yes to. Ruby's shaking her head yes. It's in January.
Oh, that's the other one. Okay.
All right. At the end of January.
At the end of January.
Yeah.
See, that gives at least 2 weeks in between Scarab and...
When is Scarab this year?
It's every year. It's Martin Luther King weekend.
Yeah, well, that's the end of January.
And it's like the middle of January, I want to say.
Is it like the 20th?
You know what? You'd think I'd know because I usually have these cards all around me, but I don't right now.
It's like the third Monday, right?
It is on a date. Oh, I can't see that 13, way back over there. 16. Well, Scarab, of course, is January 13th through 16th in 2017.
So I think you're right. I think that's the third. So this still gets plenty of time. Sure.
As we get closer, we'll talk about it. Because we would love to come back, because we had a great time when we were there before.
Well, we would love to have you there. And even if those jokers don't want you to be there, I would love to have you there. And that's more than enough, right?
It's more than enough.
More than enough.
We don't need anything else. And like I said before, we're real excited to have you out at Origins this year, John. So
I'm totally looking forward to that. And I'm going to have...
The Kobold dude needs to meet the other Kobold dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best of luck to you with the remainder of this Kickstarter. That's Knuckle Sandwich again. 9th Level Games. Go out there and look it up on Kickstarter. And I will see you later, Chris, at Origins.
Ruby and John, super excited. We'll see you guys. See you guys in Columbus, Ohio.
Woot!
Pirates of the Midwest.
Yep. All hail King Torg.
All hail King Torg.
This is Sorak, and you are listening to the Scarab Swarmcast, hosted by John Manis of the Scarab Gaming Convention, Columbia, South Carolina. That's what you're doing.
Hello, you're listening to the Scarab Swarmcast. I'm John, and with me is my wife. How you doing, Ruby?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Having a pretty good day?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Cool. Well, on this episode, we're going to be talking a lot about different Kickstarter stuff, or things that kind of relate to Kickstarter, or things that are just new. So what better way to talk about Kickstarter than by talking about some of the stuff we've experienced with Kickstart, the things that we've actually helped Kickstart, the different projects and things such as that. Admittedly, most of what we've Kickstarted has been board games.
RPGs.
Well, board games and RPGs.
Yeah.
As people are going to hear about on this. So where do we want to start? Let's start with our board games, since I know that's probably where some of the stuff we've had the most fun has come out of.
Okay. Well, we've done a couple from Soda Pop Miniatures, actually three of them. We did their Super Dungeon Explorer Forgotten Kings, their Super Dungeon Explorer Legends, and just recently, the Rail Raiders Infinity.
Which these games are miniatures, and it's minis and board games, but it's a board game.
Yeah.
I say minis and board because it's Soda Pop Miniatures, and
they do fantastic. They just do amazing miniatures. Little miniatures.
And these games definitely have that sort of, especially the two separate Super Dungeon Explorer games have that sort of 8-bit video game kind of style or feel to it.
Mm-hmm. I've been really happy with their particular Kickstarts. Admittedly, the Forgotten Kings and Legends, both very pricey, 300 plus for everything, and, you know, kind of a completionist, gotta collect them all type person. However, that is Kickstart prices, that's not retail. We tried and gotten them retail, $500-$600 for everything.
Right.
So, really great to get in, kind of a pre-order sort of a thing, but Soda Pop Miniatures is one of those companies that they don't do Kickstarter exclusives. They do, you can order it, and eventually you'll be able to order it on their stores and in game stores. So it's not an exclusive.
Yeah.
It's just a wait time. The other thing that I really liked about Soda Pop Miniatures is they, even though it takes a year or more for those two big games to get your actual product, every week on a specified day, which it was for Forgotten Kings and Legends, was both Thursdays, you got a status update. You got, even if it was a, hey, we're still working on this, here's a little picture of whatever model is currently being worked on. Right now, we're going through Legends, and we're getting updates about how, oh, the game rules have been redesigned, and here's the beta testing for them.
And with Rail Raiders Infinite, we're kind of getting that same thing, but It's on a different day. And most of what we're getting, because it's a brand new game, is we're getting, here are some of the rules we're kicking around. I think we've gotten a couple of the, here's how some of the rules are changed a little on Rail Raiders.
With Rail Raiders, that one's actually due out much quicker than the others, because it's a smaller game. It was a little cheaper, too, for everything. It was like $75 or $100 for absolutely everything. That was like two expansions and the base game. So it's a smaller game, but we're actually due to get it by the end of this year. So, and it was a very quick turnaround time, so we'll have it within the same year we kickstarted it.
Woohoo! Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, because it hits on a lot of those vibes that I'm looking for. It actually sounds like it's going to be a quicker play, perhaps a quicker setup type of game, too.
Yeah.
With really awesome looking miniatures.
And it's got two themes that you really, really like.
That's right. It's space cowboys.
Yeah.
Yay.
And they very, very, very much borrow heavily from the whole Cowboy Bebop theme and feel.
Right. Whereas the Super Dungeon Explorers are like a love letter to the fantasy and fantasy video game kind of genre.
Right.
Rail Raiders Infinite seems like it's more of a love letter to the space cowboy, space bounty hunter type of genre.
So what other board games have we kickstarted? We can talk about one that was kind of a Kickstarter fail for us. We backed Cthulhu
Sure.
Wars.
I was going to say, there's been a couple that I kind of considered a Kickstarter fail for us, but let's talk about Cthulhu Wars. That is the one that every time we hear about it, you always go, freaking Cthulhu Wars,
now,
to put it nicely.
Yeah. Now, with Cthulhu Wars, we didn't go all in. We didn't back the whole big game. We went and we were like, no, this is a neat idea. If the miniatures are what they say the miniatures are going to be like, then that's great, because we're heavy in the Pathfinder and we like miniatures.
Right. And so, and they sold us on the fact that the miniatures would be
compatible.
Would be compatible to games like Pathfinder. The scale would be compatible to things like that.
Right. And since that's the scale of miniatures that we have for other things, not just Pathfinder, we were like, cool, these are very Cthulhu-esque, obviously.
Right.
So lots of tentacles and the mythos stuff and, you know, Hounds of Tendalos. I was looking forward to seeing how those would look and whatnot. So I was really eager about the miniatures themselves. So we didn't back the base game because, honestly, I wasn't looking for a Risk, Monopoly, world-dominating type thing. I just wanted the minis.
Yep.
So we backed for some of the add-on type things, little pieces.
Right. And there was and at least one of them is a Kickstarter exclusive one.
Okay. Yes.
So we got this little first player marker, which is a Azeneth Waite figure, which is nothing like the character out of the books, but that's fine. It's a really cool miniature. It's a really cool, crazy,
creepy
looking miniature. But it was an add-on that is just an exclusive for Kickstarter.
And the other thing that we were going to get, this is part of why I think this particular Kickstarter was a fail. There were many other reasons.
Yeah.
Where we were like, oh, well, you can get boxes of cultists.
Right.
So we're like, okay. It wasn't cultists at first. It was something else.
Well,
the gate.
It was two things. It was these gate, these little portal things that were supposed to be big enough so that a medium-sized miniature could kind of snap into it.
Right. And that's what I really, really liked, since I do a lot of painting of figures. I was like, ooh, that'll be cool. I can set a figure. You know, I can put these gates up differently, and I can put a figure inside of it. It'll look
kind of a neat
display.
Or display a figure. So it was that and the cultists, who looked like just regular, in a
generic
Pathfinder terms, medium-sized creature, crazy humanoid things.
Right.
And who couldn't use
more mooks
like that?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. After they funded, and this project, so if you wanted the whole thing, you were going to pay $600 or more to get everything. I think it was...
No, it was more. It was in thousands.
I believe it.
It was.
There was just so much stuff in this game. And they made over $1 million on the Kickstarter alone. And we weren't even getting the base game. We were just, like I said, we were just getting
just a few pieces.
A couple pieces here and there.
We probably put no more than 60, 70 bucks into it.
That sounds about right. So when it finally started coming around where they sent out their pledge manager type thing to me, the survey asking me what I wanted, all of a sudden I found out on there, I can't get those portals because I didn't pledge enough to get a portion of the base game.
The big fail was there was a lot of, I don't want to say miscommunication, but unclearly marked pledge levels and how much things actually cost and how you could access them.
Amongst other things, yes.
Because
then there was stuff we found out after the thing that, well, anyways.
Which wasn't part of what we pledged, so.
Right. So then I was left with this whole thing where I couldn't get the portals. Because I didn't bypass,
but
I couldn't get a refund. They already had my money, so I was left. So I ended up getting more of those cultists, or the priests, or whatever they were called. So I was like, well, fine. If I can't get those, I might as well just get some more MOOCs because they should be fine. I should be able to use them in the game. Then it took forever.
Well, then there were other issues with the Kickstarter itself. We didn't experience this part because we didn't buy the base game. But basically, the base game became available in game stores almost a year before Kickstarter backers received any of their product.
Right.
And then it got shipped in two different waves, and they were unclear on which waves and who were in what wave, so there were all sorts of issues with that. We eventually got our stuff 2 years later.
Right.
And here's the other part. The medium-sized creatures that were supposed to be compatible with other 3.5 and other games like that, well, yes, technically the miniatures themselves are to the correct scale, but they decided that they were going to put bases that were basically for large or huge sized creatures on a medium sized creature.
Right, and these are one piece. So
they're all one piece. You can't even snap them off. It would take a lot of drilling and sanding of the resin plastic.
We pretty much have to destroy the figure just to get this. This figure that I honestly wasn't really impressed with the sculpt once we got it anyway.
So overall, very disappointed in that Kickstarter. The only item that was anywhere near was that Azanethwaite figure.
Very cool, very creepy.
And now we're also stuck with two boxes of cultists that we'll never use. And here's the other kicker. Nobody freaking wants these figures.
Yeah, I can't give these things away. I'm not going to give them away either. I'd rather get some money back for them. But.
Yeah, so.
Oh, don't forget, we also got like a little lithograph poster that was supposed to be signed, which
wasn't signed.
I don't see a signature on it, but I'm not going to fight that battle because that was something I actually was not expecting to get. So.
Yeah. So here's another one. It was kind of a failure, kind of a success. Stones of Fate. Quite a few years back, we met the guys that were working on it. They had put out a small limited number of them from a very small Kickstart that they had done. They donated a copy to the Scarab Game Library. It was a fun game, kind of a memory matching tarot thing. We both, John and I, both really liked it. I'm kind of hard to impress with board games, just because I get too competitive sometimes and whatnot. But this was a nice kind of cooperative little competitiveness, and it played fairly quickly. That's the other thing. I don't tend to like the games that take forever to play.
Yeah. To me, what's impressive about this game, and this is not really going about the Kickstarter, but about the game itself, so I'll be kind of brief, was the fact that it looks like it's such a big game, but it really sets up and plays very quickly.
And it's easy. There's only like 3 or 4 rules, and they give you a reference card to sit in front of you.
It looks like it's going to be daunting, but once you start playing it, it's not.
But anyway, so they had, like I said, a small successful Kickstart. They put out a small number of them, and they wanted to expand. So they were telling us that, hey, we're putting out a new Kickstarter to fund it to get a larger production run, essentially, of the game and get it more out there. So we were like, cool. When they did it, we backed them. It was a $20, $25 game. It was pretty awesome, and we wanted our own copy. Unfortunately, their particular Kickstart failed. They didn't meet their funding goal. So it was one of those, aw, we didn't get the game. So in that terms, it was a failure. But within 6 months, 7 months later, they're like, okay, well, maybe our goal was a little unrealistic. Let's go ahead and do this. And they relaunched a new Kickstarter. So third Kickstarter in, they amended their goals, things like that, how much they needed. They ended up getting a different artist, so they changed the artwork on all the cards.
Right.
And they funded. So, yay. Of course, we pledged again, and they funded. So, from there.
And that one did take a little bit of time getting to us.
Right. They apparently had some issues with their, not production, but their shipping portion of it.
Yeah.
Which actually caused them all sorts of legal ramifications.
That's right. There was all sorts of.
This is kind of a fail, but it's not a fail. People got their product, But there was such a hassle in getting it that I'm pretty sure that ended up hurting them in the long run.
The company, the processing Correct. Company they went through, didn't do it correctly. So Correct. People were getting notices from the post office that, hey, we have your product. You have to pay us X amount shipping. For shipping.
That was already included, that they'd already paid. And like I said, it wasn't necessarily Cosmic Wombat's issue. It's who they were going through, but because it's who they contracted to work for, Cosmic Wombat got the blowback. Stones of Fate, still a fun game. I like it. We own it. Then because of those shipping issues, we actually ended up with two copies. When we contacted them, they're like, well, just go ahead and keep it.
Right. So we'll be trying to figure out how to give that away at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a Stones of Fate tournament at at Scarab and give that away as a prize.
Okay.
So the so going back to that, we were talking about the shipping problems that happened with Stones of Fate. Super Dungeon Explorer kind of ran into something. The Forgotten Kings kind of ran into something like that.
Yes.
There was a changeover of the company. Basically, their relationship with who they were working for, making the miniatures, I want to say, got a little strained.
Yeah.
And it seemed like
that was their very first independent
game. Right, this is the first, and it was such a huge scale. And around the past couple of years, kind of beginning with that, there was all sorts of strikes in China. There were the U.S. was heavily marking board games in particular
for drug trade.
Right. So a lot of shipping and stuff from these big board games were being delayed in customs.
Yeah.
So I remember getting the updates on that.
Yeah, Chinese New Year. I remember that. It was a big thing at one point with that particular game.
And that brings us to the next one I want to talk about, because it kind of suffered from some of this as well.
Yeah.
Which was a game by Greenbrier Games. Mm-hmm. And we had stopped by to see them at a Gen Con, which is when we're introduced to the game Yashima, which is it's really kind of built as a two-person game where you're two
tactical fighting mini role-playing
with some cards.
Yeah. It's a neat amalgamation. The miniatures, again, most games get sold by me by how cool their miniatures are. The miniatures are amazing. There's not a lot of them. There's only, I think, four or six.
In the base game, four.
Okay, and then the expansion adds two more.
Well, they've got a bunch that they've added as all expansions.
There's like 10 total. Period. Right.
But the way they introduced those is those, like you said, those were all different expansion ones. So we backed the base game because
we backed the base game and their one expansion. We got the weird.
Oh, that's right. We also got an extra miniature. The Wizard actually came about because of their partnership with Mayfair Games. I want to say it's like the Mayfair Games Wizard miniature. Okay. So it's exclusive to that.
But
here's what we found with backing Yashima. Part of it was it got tied up in customs.
Right.
Part of it was, for whatever reason, there were just tons of delays in getting the product out. And then very similar to Cthulhu Wars, the game was hitting the general market well before it got to any of the backers. And that was royally ticking off a lot of backers.
Well, our personal experience,
yes,
we went to Gen Con. And lo and behold, in the Gen Con flyer book, coupon flyer book thing, here's Greenbrier. Every day, stop by the booth. There's 200 of these limited Yashima exclusive, Gen Con exclusive figures that you can get. Oh yeah, why don't you buy our game while it's there? So every morning, before the dealer's room opens up, we're all standing outside waiting. Me or John, even though we had schedules to keep, for volunteering. We're waiting there to get in the doors and then get to the line before it gets too long, because they only have 200 per day of each of these figures and one unique figure each day. And there's that damn game that I bought sitting there
staring at you.
I can't play as I stand in line for 45 minutes waiting to get a figure that I can't use.
Well, and part of what got me was there's those components that were supposedly the Kickstarter exclusive products.
Right there for sale.
Right there for sale, too.
Yes.
Now, that kind of ticked me off, but kind of didn't, because I didn't buy them on the Kickstarter. But it told me,
that's something we can talk about at the end of this, Kickstarter exclusives versus non-exclusives.
I agree, because we're going to pull a lot from all the things we were talking about. So let's see, what's the...
Another board game. This one's a brand new one that just came out.
And this one actually, Just funded and still going on when this recording comes out. This is the Kobolds Ate My Baby Knuckle Sandwich game from Ninth Level Games. It is a quick card game. This is the third iteration that we've probably seen of Knuckle Sandwich, but this is supposed to be the latest and greatest, the big one, the one that they really want to get out to everybody. The other ones were, the one was just a print and play that was just sort of a...
tossed in.
Right, with their with one of their other Kickstarters. Yeah. And the other one was just a slightly upgraded one that they printed...
kind of like their beta testing.
Yeah, they printed a limited number of Ashcan editions, as Chris O'Neill mentioned. If you went to Scarab that particular year, you could have bought one.
Yeah.
But this one seems like it's going to be a lot of fun, very quick, and they've got a lot of really interesting components that they're going to be
doing. About that game.
Right.
Not much so. We backed it, right, as you can guess.
So this one's... My baby. Yeah, and this one's still going on,
all
so...
All hail King Torg.
All hail King Torg. So this one's still going on, so there's really no... I don't know, there's really nothing we can really say much about our experience with it yet.
Other than, we've dealt with Ninth Level Games from Kobolds Ate My Baby. John's a huge Chris O'Neill and John Kovalik fan. Well, mostly Chris O'Neill. Kovalik's kind of a side...
Well, I've talked with Chris a lot more than I've talked with John Covelli.
So, all in all, we didn't have a problem with any of the other ones. I'm sure there won't be a problem with Knuckle Sandwich.
Right. He's got it in,
even if there is. So, anyway.
So I guess we can...
I guess that was all of our board games that we've backed.
That we've backed, personally, yes, yeah.
Personally. So, another big thing that we tend to back are RPGs. Because,
yes,
go figure, that's what we like, board games and RPGs.
So I guess the logical segue would be probably the very first thing I ever kickstarted or helped kickstart, which was the Kobolds Ate My Baby in color edition of the game. This was a huge, huge one for me, at least, because it was my first experience with Kickstart.
Yeah.
It was a game that I really love, and so I was really excited to back it.
Yeah. And we went all out. I remember in that particular one, we were driving to a convention in North Carolina.
We were driving to a concert.
Concert, that's right. Yes, we were going to a concert.
We were going to an MC Lars concert.
Or was it MC Chris?
Well...
Lars, Chris, whatever.
One of those two.
One of the two. Anyway, we were driving to the concert, and John was like, yeah, you know, this Kickstart's about to start. It's kind of a shame we're going to be on the road. I was like, we'd just gotten brand new cell phones, our first smartphones, so we're messing around.
That's right,
So we were in the car, and I pull it up, and I'm like, John... they have only a limited number at this level of backing, and it sounds like this is what you'd want. So in the car, on my phone, we're registering for Kickstarter and pledging, and within 5 minutes of finishing all of that, the level we backed at was totally gone.
But there was, yeah.
So if we had done what we were planning on doing, which was waiting till we got up to the concert area,
I would have missed out on that.
We would have missed out on it. And as it is, we got this cool, you've probably seen him in a lot of pictures, you've heard him on this podcast, he travels to different conventions with John, is our Kobold Toast.
That's right. He kind of hosts parts of the show.
Yep. He was born from that first Kickstarter.
A lot of interesting stuff came out of that Kickstarter, yes, but none of it was really, I guess Toast was probably the Kickstarter exclusive,
but
only because that lady could only make so many stuffed kobolds.
Right, and it's not like Toast has an in-game effect either.
Actually, he does.
He does?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Because his little birth certificate thing has some in-game effects, but it's kobold, so it's not a
game breaker.
It's not like some of these others where it's like, I've got this card, and because I got this card from Kickstarter, I automatically win.
Yeah. So that was our very first, and it was an RPG. Some of the others, we'll kind of run down the list of them here, was one called Golden Sky Stories.
Yes. It's a Japanese RPG that's been translated over. It's from this
same company that does Made the
RPG. Yeah.
Which is how we found out about it, because we were fans of the Made RPG. Run it at many conventions.
Right. And I think that was what made me back this game.
And a friend of ours, Jason, also had mentioned it.
That's true. So as with what happens with Kickstarters, a lot of times people find out about it because friends of theirs tell them about it. And this was definitely a case with this. We liked the company. We liked their other, at least one of their other RPGs.
Right.
So we said, why not?
Cheap enough $20-$25. I think that's the other thing that I noticed. Yeah. If they're cheap enough, I'm more willing to say, okay, well, if it's under $25, I'm more willing to say, okay, here you go.
Right. Now, with this one, it did run into a lot of production issues.
Translation issues.
It was mostly because there's just translation issues. They found that for some of the stuff, they actually had to try to get new artwork or additional artwork. Right. So it did.
It wasn't a big problem. It just slowed it down some.
Right. So the big win with that is it just took. It seemed like it took forever to get stuff in. And I just got emails recently. Apparently, the other thing, because it's been going on so long, I've almost forgotten exactly what I'm supposed to be getting from this Kickstarter. So I got an email about some stuff that they're almost finished out that I'm supposed to be getting
in a few months.
I thought so too. Apparently, okay. There's a few other things.
Okay. The next one, which is kind of suffering from the not remembering, is Paranoia.
Paranoia. It's
a newer version. Guys in the UK,
yep,
big fans of it. Everything that they sounded like they wanted to do with it were great. They're things that we normally do personally, you know, dry erase character sheets, all sorts of neat things like that. But I think that one's hit. We have nothing physical.
We have nothing yet.
I think we have a beta PDF of the playtest rules.
Right. Now, I do keep getting regular updates from them now. Supposedly, they are very close to putting out some of the final product. Okay. And
this is 2 years now.
Yes. The big problem they ran into is kind of like with Cthulhu Wars and another RPG that we'll be talking about at some point. Yeah. They ran through some staffing changes and some ideas that they were thinking they were going to do turned out to be not that great. So they're just redoing it.
So in this particular case, kind of the fail of an RPG is when you go to back it, see how far along in production of the actual writing and the production of the game, whether the game is finished and complete and just ready to be printed versus, hey, we have this idea that we want to make and here's some general outlines. I think that's the big thing you need to look at those, because like I said, that one, 2 years, we kind of forgot. You can go back and Kickstarter and look at the pledge levels, but it's one of those.
It's still like, well, what am I supposed to be getting from this?
Right.
So I want to flip that around and and bring up something that I really like that I think was a huge success RPG-wise that I backed, which was this game called Accursed, which is based in the Savage Worlds rule set. And I had heard about this on some other podcast where they were talking about it, and it sounded like something that sounded like it'd be really, really fun to play.
And unfortunately, you've gotten to run like one-shot and one con game.
Right, but that's...
You haven't actually got to do much with it.
But that's not through any fault of the game itself. Yes. But from a Kickstarter standpoint, everything I got from them, I got timely. All the products are amazing.
Yeah, high quality. It was already pre-done. It was just ready to be printed.
Yep.
They were waiting on. That's what the Kickstarter was for. Was literally for the money to print the books.
Yep. And so that was awesome that they did that. And all their stuff is still available through DriveThruRPG. I don't think there was any.
I believe, because it's a Savage Worlds base.
It is Savage Worlds, but this is actually Melior Via.
Right. But I'm saying that you can get them through Savage Worlds as well as through DriveThruRPG.
I believe so. But if you go through DriveThruRPG, you'll get that option of what quality of printing of the book you want. That's if you true. Actually want a physical print.
We ended up going with the highest quality print book that they had. It is a phenomenal book. The hardcover, the pages, the ink, it is absolutely gorgeous.
And aside from that, it's a very solid game. It's there's so much detail, so much love that you could tell just went into this game.
Yeah.
I look forward to playing more of this.
Yes.
So, let's flip it back around again to the game that I think at this point everybody loves to hate, Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition.
7th Edition. I'm not a huge Call of Cthulhu fan to begin with.
But 7th Edition. Seven editions of this thing. Take that, D&D. So,
why did we back this?
I'll tell you exactly why we backed this. Because our friend Jason was going to run a Call of Cthulhu game for us.
That's right.
And so I said, sure, I'll back it. But fortunately, they had a level of backing where I could just get the player's guide or the investigator's guide on PDF. And I was like, sure, okay. If I'm going to play this, I'll back this level and I'll get this. This will be fun. This will be neat.
Okay. The game never came to fruition.
The game that Jason was running. Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition is now, I think just now, really starting to kind of come out to the backers and things such as that.
I even forgot we backed it.
This one is another one that took several years to come out to anybody. And a big part of that was restructuring within Chaosium. They basically had to bring a bunch of people back into Chaosium, including Sandy Peterson from Cthulhu Wars fame. So this already had a bunch of strikes. But again, this is another one of those stuff started coming to me, and I would literally go, oh, A, forgot I backed that. B, forgot what level I backed. So I didn't realize I was supposed to be getting some of this stuff.
Okay. These ones are two indie RPGs, is what you would call them. Primetime Adventures and Puppetland. They were two separate Kickstarters, but they're both small. Primetime Adventures I found at a con from North Carolina. Someone that I usually would game, that he always brought interesting new small indie games. Primetime Adventures was one of them. Found that it was on Kickstarter. I was interested in it. I told John, back this one, just because.
And it was fairly inexpensive to back. I want to say I threw $20 at it.
Yeah. Again, that magic number, $20-$25.
Right, which works great. This is another one of these no-frills that got out very quickly. Yes. It got out so quickly that I'd almost forgotten. I forgot to tell Ruby, yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, I got that book here printed out. And she's like, oh, when did this come out? And I was like, a month or two ago, I think. It didn't take long for it to come out to our hands, so a lot of kudos and praises to that.
Yeah.
Way to go for Primetime Adventures.
And you can still get it. It's one of these. You can get it PDF version. It's a short, quick game. It doesn't really use a lot. Pen, index cards, your imagination. I think there's some dice. It's been a while since I've played.
So would you consider it like a...
Fiasco-esque.
I'll compare it to, and you're going to roll your eyes when I say this. A little bit Fiasco, a little bit Hill Folk.
Okay. Cartoon Action Hour.
Not quite. I don't know. I have not honestly had enough experience with Cartoon Action Hour to compare it to.
Okay.
But it's about television.
Yeah.
And TV shows. It's a lot of fun. Puppetland, you mentioned, is one I saw come out, and that hit a bunch of heartstrings for me because
Puppetland was already out, an established game, an indie game, which we have and we really like.
Now, originally it was out by Hogshead Entertainment or Hogshead Publishing. Very, very indie. And this one is actually being put out by Arc Dream Publishing, which is kind of a big thing.
Yes. So we're big fans of Arc Dream Publishing games.
So it's John Scott Tynes and Arc Dream Publishing. It's if you are anywhere in the as deep into the RPG stuff as we are, those two names should just explode for you. Yeah. Give you goosebumps. Yeah, chills.
I was gonna say something else, but then I remember John probably doesn't want to edit me very much.
So I was excited about this one. I backed it, and it has hit so many speed bumps. Part of that's because Arc Dream decided to kickstart about two or three other things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to blame Delta Green for stalling it in a big way.
No, you can't totally blame Delta Green.
I'm not saying Delta Green is bad.
Okay.
I'm just saying
because Delta Green was a... on Delta Green for years before they even came into the agreement with John Scott Tynes.
Yeah, Delta Green is a much bigger engine than a much bigger machine than Puppetland. But I promise you, once I get that copy of Puppetland in my hands, I'm going to constantly be talking about how much I want to run it.
Yep. And you're gonna trick people into playing it.
I will. It's an awesome game.
Yes.
So the only thing I'm disappointed about with that Kickstart is it's taking so long, but they keep showing. I get updates on it. Okay. I see the art that comes from it, and then I go, I'm willing to wait.
Okay. So this brings us to the second to last category of things we've backed on Kickstarter.
We're going to shift gears here in a really interesting kind of way.
Music.
Yeah. If you've listened to this podcast before, and if you've listened to any of the... We've probably had about two different music-related episodes now.
Yeah.
We like our music around here.
Yeah, and these are actually two people that get featured on this podcast quite often.
Actually, it's three.
Three? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, three. It's
You're
three.
Right. You're right.
So let's talk with... I'd be remiss if I didn't mention MC Lars.
Right.
Usually I try to play at least one of his songs at the end of each episode.
Right.
And lately I've been playing stuff off of, and we talked a great deal. We did a big review on his album, Zombie T-Rex. The Zombie T-Rex
album. It was
album.
You and Doug.
Me and Doug and a few other folks were sitting around the table talking about that. Matt was here, but I don't think he'd actually listened to
it at that point. One of the other big ones that we've played quite a bit on here was I Fight Dragons. We found them because we went to a concert, an MC Chris concert, and they opened for him. And we really, really liked them.
Yes, so. they're a bit chiptune, a bit rock and roll, but all nerdy-ish. But they're fun.
Crazies always get stuck in my head.
Their song gets played, at least one of their songs gets played in the intro of the episode every time.
Yes, it does. I suggested that one.
And sometimes I sneak other songs of theirs.
You try to. And then the third person that you hear quite often in the background of different parts is Midnight Syndicate.
That's right. They did a, and this is an interesting one. This is, well, first off, for MC Lars, it was the Zombie T-Rex album, mm-hmm. which funded.
Right.
For I Fight Dragons, it was something called Project Atma, which resulted in their The Near Future CD.
Yeah.
That one successfully funded. That one took a little bit of time to get to us.
But they warned us it would because they intentionally said, we're doing this special printing record vinyl.
Right.
And
so special printed vinyl.
Right.
The band went through a crisis. They almost broke up because of this. But then they came back stronger than ever, I'm going to say.
And then they lost their record deal. And then they put it out themselves. So there was a lot that happened with that. But they gave everyone what they ordered, and everyone was very happy.
Yep, this is a super, super product that they put out. You could still get it off of their website.
Yep.
The vinyl, the CD, the digital download, whatever it is you want.
Right.
It is awesome. They're awesome guys. They have awesome music. So now, the third one that Ruby was getting ready to mention.
Yes. Sorry.
Midnight Syndicate. They do a lot of creepy Halloween gothic kind of soundscapes, we'll say, and music, stuff like that. That's really interesting to play just kind of in the background while you're doing stuff.
They actually have movies and stuff like that too, which is where a lot of the music comes from.
Right. They score some of their movies that they help produce or whatever.
D-genre horror flicks. I'm not even going B.
But it's they've got some really good stuff. I've played quite a few of the things on usually in the background when I'm talking to people and stuff here. They had put out one which was for Midnight Syndicate Live, a Halloween concert thing that they were going to make a DVD of and stuff like that. Now it's not that theirs didn't fund. They were there. I want to say they had the money they needed to fund, but then they pulled their Kickstarter back.
They chose to do it because they did not take the funds.
Right, and they said this was not really the direction they wanted to go with this. They wanted to redo and relook at how they were handling this project. Since then, they now have a steady show of a sort of a Halloween or a horror themed show at some park or parks that they do now.
Theme parks.
So this is not really a. This is a, not really. I wouldn't call this a Kickstarter
failure
per se.
Right. This was and people weren't mad at them. It was one of those. Hey, we didn't take your money. This was an ill thought idea by us.
Right. But they kept everybody in the loop here's what we're going to do with that instead. So let's shift gear one more time because there's all sorts of stuff on Kickstarter, and this was one that just kind of this one. I found this one because I was getting really into Accursed, and it definitely had that vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a product by Fat Dragon Games, who make wonderful 3D printable terrain. And by that, I mean now you can plug the stuff into your 3D printers and print it out. Or back then, back in my day...
That was only a couple years ago.
Back in my day of 2 years ago. When we wanted 3D terrain, we put cardstock into a printer.
It's what's considered paper craft.
Yeah, so it was 3D printable. I keep saying that.
I know.
When I say it, it is three-dimensional, but it is not a 3D printer.
Right.
It's not, I don't shove a piece of plastic in this and it molds it out. It's literally cardstock. You cut it out and you put it together. But they've been doing this for so long that their stuff looks phenomenal.
Yes.
Looks amazing. And the one we backed was Ravenfell. Which is a gothic fantasy town. It also came with a windmill, some sewer system.
Yes.
I think I got Baba Yaga's hut as a freebie.
Yes.
As for backing the Kickstarter, I got a little 3D or that little cardstock outhouse to print out.
Yeah, we use that in your Deadlands game because there was one.
Oh yeah, I'll use that outhouse anywhere. It's awesome. That was an amazing fun one, and that was one another one that it took a little while to get to me, but because it was all PDFs mm-hmm. and stuff, you and just because. Got it. Yeah. Right, so
it came when it came out, you had it.
Right, and but the way shipping. Yeah, and the way they did it, they kind of did it like
in waves.
Well, we finished this set of it, so here that goes out to everybody. Okay. We finished this part, here comes that out to everybody. Okay. And so for a while there, I was just getting stuff almost every week or every month, and I was like, wow, there was some stuff that was coming to me. It's like, oh, I'd kind of forgotten about that, but hey, it's cool. Yeah. And one of these days, I'm going to print all that stuff out, and we're going to
have a massive town.
Yep.
All right.
And what's one of the things that's neat about this, because it's PDF, it uses all these layers.
Oh, yeah.
So if you decide, oh, there's not enough moss on the ground, or oh, I want some leaves, or I don't want any leaves, I want it to be clear, clean cobblestone, you just shift the layers around.
Okay.
So from this, I could either build one set, or I could build hundreds of different varieties of sets.
As long as your ink holds out.
Right. As long as... quote unquote, my ink holds out.
Those are the Kickstarters that we've backed, good or bad.
Yes. We've only had two that did not fund. Mm-hmm. One was that Midnight Syndicate one. It was like the second Kickstarter from Stones of Fate.
Right.
Because of
Third Mate.
Right, like you talked about earlier. So those are the ones we've done. So, just in general, what's maybe a couple things we like about the whole Kickstarter experience?
There's really neat products, and not just for gaming either, out there. I could spend hours, I could just lose myself looking at all these millions of Kickstarter projects out there. And some are just as much as saying, oh, I need $3,000 to, oh, I need a million. There's such a huge range. If you're interested in something, it's probably out there. Good things about Kickstart, lots of different things. There's always something to find. Price range, you can find something that you want within your price range for the most part. Bad thing, you can find things you want that aren't in your price range.
Yeah.
And there's so many out there that if you're not careful and you don't know how to budget your money, you could get broke very, very quick, very, very easy. You could get lots of fees and penalties because of the way Kickstart works. You pledge, the money doesn't come out until the game or the thing is funded, and then they hit your card or whatever account that you've attached to it. And if you're not careful and you have multiple Kickstarters out there that you funded, they could all come up.
They might all hit at the same time or within weeks of each other.
Right. So you as a person needs to be mindful of your fundage and your full cash flow.
Right. There's a Dork Tower comic that I always remember where Igor is looking at his banks, is one of his credit card statements going, huh, what are all these strange statement things for? Hmm? Oh, well, who knows?
And then
a year later, like each week, he's like, huh, I got another package. Wow, this is amazing. It's like Christmas every week.
Yeah. That's probably one of the other downsides, I think, about Kickstarter is, depending on what you're backing, you may not actually see a physical,
the product
yeah. until years later.
So, if you're one of these instant gratification types... It's not really for you. Here's what I found. If you're really into RPGs, mm-hmm. And you want to back one of these RPGs, I would definitely look at, you know, read through the Kickstarter, look at their videos. If it's a company that you know and believe in, not to sound like one of those Disney types, but if it is, like for me, the Arc Dream Publishing, that kind of did it. Even though I've been waiting a while for Puppet Land, I have faith in Arc Dream Publishing. They're really good guys. It's a really good
company.
So in the Soda Pop Mini stuff is kind of like that for me, too.
Correct. I know it's going to be at least a year before I see anything physical from them. But the first one, Forgotten Kings, was a bit of an iffy. It was like, But because of how they delivered on Forgotten Kings when Legends came around, I had no problem plunking down that much money and waiting.
Right, and Rail Raiders, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
This is not... That's the other thing to check. This, like, for Soda Pop Miniatures, this is not their first rodeo.
Right.
they've done this before. So also check some of these places, see what, see how
see
many.
Their background.
Right, you can check on Kickstarter how many things have they done, how many things have they successfully done.
Do they fund other people?
Do they fund other people? Like if you go and look at Ninth Level Games, they kick it forward as it's called, to a lot of other things too. Right. They back a lot of projects as well.
There
yes.
are other crowdfunding platforms out there. Indiegogo is one of the other big ones, and GoFundMe. Those are probably the top three I hear about.
I forgot about GoFundMe, but yeah. But a lot of your kind of indie, what we call indie RPGs and stuff, you're probably going to find on things like Indiegogo.
Which you're going to have to be even more careful looking at it. I mentioned this earlier. Check games that are they completed or are they in the idea phase? That's going to determine how long you're truly going to wait. Most of these crowdfunding places have a section that says when estimated delivery time.
Yes.
Those people are fallible. They really are. Things come up in lives. Most of the indie gamers and writers have multiple jobs. You know, in gaming doesn't
right.
necessarily fund their living. So
right, right.
Some of them have day jobs besides being writers or they're
projecting
it out.
We've just shattered the illusion for everybody. Because there's a saying in the gaming industry, the best way to make a little money in the gaming industry is to start with a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Unless you're Richard Garfield. Apparently. But so we've really just talked about the ones we've backed.
Correct.
There's been a lot of other really big ones that a lot of people have talked up and down about that are really awesome, amazing ones. Seems like anytime we go to a gaming convention, it's always, oh, cool, where'd you get this game? Oh, well, I got it on Kickstarter. Or you'll find a game and you'll see that little green Kickstarter sticker
green
on there.
Light, yeah.
So we've talked about what we backed. We've kind of given some ideas of, you know, if you want to back something on Kickstarter, here's the best way to do it. Yeah. I think the last little bit of advice I'm going to give out as far as the Kickstarter stuff is if you really want something, if you see one of these projects and you really want to back it, you really believe it, the best thing you can do then is to share that with people you know. There's all sorts of links on there so you can share it all throughout all the different social media venues, such as Facebook, G+,
Twitter.
Yeah, tweet the you know what out of those things, because if you're not also telling people about this product that you believe in that you're kickstarting, then it's just going to make it that much harder for them to get funded. And a lot of people like to wait for the last 24 hours to throw money at a project. Part of that I blame on Kickstarter because they have a little remind me button that reminds you within the 48 hours.
Well, that's nice.
It is nice. And the other part is there's a lot of people who go, well, I want to see if it's going to fund first before I start throwing money at it. Yeah. To me, that's crazy talk. Because if everybody did that, then nothing would ever fund. So yes, Kickstarter. Go out there, find something you love, back it, enjoy it.
Be careful with your money.
Be careful with your money. But if you do think you're going to lose some money, try to sucker some of your friends into backing it too.
Gee, I sure wish I could play some Pathfinder, but I don't know anybody who plays or runs it.
Wednesday!
Wednesday!
Wednesday! At Firefly Toys and Games in Columbia,
South Carolina, Scarab Gaming Convention presents Pathfinder Society Game Night.
Play scenarios!
Earn XP!
Crush your enemies! The cost is free!
Free!
Free! Newbies, welcome!
I better write this down. I sure hope that yelling guy tells me when it is again.
Wednesday!
Wednesday!
Wednesday! At Firefly Toys and Games, Columbia, South Carolina. Game start at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. Check listings on Firefly's Facebook site for details, or check out the Palmetto Lodge meetup site on meetup.com. Pathfinder Society Game Night. Roll the dice
before they roll you!
Well, I like the sound of that. I'm there.
All right, so I'm here at XCon 2016, and I just got through playing at least one game with somebody I met here. Tell me who you are.
Yeah, so it's been a pleasure. It's been a lot of fun. My name's Vincent Baker. I'm a game designer, and no, I'm not the more famous Vincent Baker. Yeah, I'm not that guy.
I was about to say, wait a minute, Vincent Baker?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not the Vincent Baker. I'm the lesser known of the two. But yes, that is my real name. I'm not trying to take any of his fame away. He's awesome game designer. But yeah.
So we played, my wife Ruby and I played a game with you where we had some cards and we were kind of like dueling magic users, I guess it was?
Or yeah.
Something to that effect?
So, yeah, it's called Spell Slingers, in which everyone plays as these magic users. It's a battle to the death where you're casting spells back and forth. It's a really quick, fast-paced game. It has some strategy involved, some luck involved. It's meant to be really quick and easy to just kind of pick up and play. It doesn't involve any dice, any tokens, any life counters. Just something that you buy the game, you get to play it, shuffle 2 to 8 players. Yeah, it's a blast to play.
Okay. I know we both had fun playing it.
That's good to hear.
So you also brought at least one other game with
yes.
you?
Yes. So it's my tabletop role-playing game. It's known as Otherworlds. It's a future fantasy role-playing game, or at least that's what I like to call it, because it's very much set in the fantasy world where there's a lot of low-tech amongst these different worlds. But then, out of nowhere, this alien appears and sort of awakens these different technology and these different relics that have been scattered across these worlds. And never before this point did the inhabitants of these worlds ever consider that there's life outside of them. Or that, you know, they might consider it, but there's no proof of it. But with this alien appearing and awakening this technology, these worlds have now become connected. And with that, there's these devices known as Wanderers, which allow the user to teleport themselves, essentially, from world to world. So you basically take on the role as an adventurer as you travel between these worlds, discovering the different creatures that inhabit them and the different monsters and dangers, the cool locations and all that good stuff.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. What type of characters do you get to... I mean,
all right, so yeah, so since it's called Otherworlds, there's a lot of different worlds, as the name suggests. You can play anything from a vampire to humans to a lionish type character to the phalanx, which are these foxish, nimble treetop scouts assassins. Pretty much anything you can think of. There's something that could be built into one of the worlds in the game. One of the hardest challenges I had with creating these different worlds is at first they were kind of all labeled like, oh, this is the snow world, this is the desert world, and I realized that whenever players played, they enjoyed having the different worlds, but they would also just want to just jump between them. They didn't have much depth to them, so it's been a real challenge for me this past year. I've been making sure that each world has enough substance to it, to where there's many facets, so players can sit in one world and play an entire campaign just in that one world and experience that one world from many layers.
Okay. And have you been taking this game to different conventions?
Yes. Yes, I have. So I've let's see. I've been to Mace. I'm going to Con Carolinas. I'm going to have it at Gen Con this year. I'm going to I've had it at a place called Monster Con, Trad Anime Con, Akai Con. I probably had it at least 15 different conventions. I've had over 200 players at this point.
Wow.
Yes, it's been playtested by quite a number of players over the past 3 years. I also play on a regular basis weekly at local game stores. I host events there, and so it's constantly being reworked and replaytested. I spend at least 20 to 25 hours a week on the game, plus a full-time job. So this game has really been ironed out, and I really want to make sure that my first game that gets released leaves an awesome impression on everyone.
That's very good. That's very cool. I'm rooting for you. I'm hoping for the best on that.
I appreciate it. I'm also rooting for myself. yeah, it's been a lot of work, but you know, anything that you're passionate about, you know, you just gotta. Work through it all, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see what we can do to get you to come to Scarab. So
yes.
Some of these guys can.
I can definitely see myself going to Scarab in 2017.
I'm not trying to get you on the mic and, like, nail you down to a firm commitment.
I know. I definitely.
I throw that out there.
Yeah. I unfortunately don't have the gift of future sight, but if I was a gambling man, I'd say that I'd be there at Scarab 2017.
Okay. Well, for some of our listeners who might not make it to Scarab or some of these other conventions you mentioned, or if they want to figure out how to get to find out more about your game and you and and such.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What would be the best way for them to do that?
Okay, so the absolute best way to find out more information about Otherworlds is to check out our website, which is www.otherworldsrpg.com. You could also find us on Facebook with the URL The Otherworlds Universe. But yes, the website's the best way to reach out to us. From there, you can see our social media pages. You can sign up for our newsletter, which is bi-weekly. You can see all the different content, the different races that inhabit the worlds, the story, and just all the good stuff that goes within the game.
Well, thank you for sitting down and talking with me. Again, Vincent Baker, check out Otherworlds.
Yes, Otherworlds.
And Spellslinger.
And Spellslingers with an S. Yes, Otherworlds and Spellslingers, both end with an S.
Okay.
Yep. And yeah, thanks for having me, John. It's been a pleasure.
So I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. We're almost done. Don't need to worry. But before we go, I want to talk to you about some upcoming game days and events that Scarab has lined up. First off, I want to talk about the fact that some of us are going to be going to Origins in Ohio just this month, June. Holy crud, it's just right around the corner. We're going to be there, June 15th. June 16th, June 17th, June 18th, June 19th. Holy cow, that's a lot of time for us to be there. We're going to have quite a bit of crew just kind of wandering around, talking to the different vendors and stuff, hobnobbing. You know, we got to spread the swarm out towards Ohio way. But I know myself, Ruby, a friend of ours, Calvin Korn, and of course, Brian Gambrell will be running some Pathfinder Society games with the Ohio PFS guys. That's going to be a lot of fun. But hey, after I'm done with that, and I still can't believe I'm doing this, I'm going to be so dead tired. I'm going to be probably running some games for, you know, ninth level games. You may have heard that earlier on in the episode. I don't know. I think I might have mentioned that before. So if you're going to be there, come by and shout out All Hail King Torque. In fact, you know what? I just say that whole week, when you first get up, when you first walk out the door, the first time you see somebody in the office, just anybody, the first time you see anybody doing anything, you should just yell out All Hail King Tor right in their face. But, you know, be careful. We're not liable for whatever might happen when you do that. So anyways, that's Origins. But hey, you can't go to Origins, but you really love the Scarab guys and you're kind of in our area. Well, good news. June 25th in Columbia, South Carolina, right here over at our FLGS Firefly Toys and Games, we're going to be having a game day. When does it start? It's probably going to start around noon, but it usually goes until whenever because we're just that crazy. Actually, it goes till whenever they kick us out because we are that crazy. Come by, have some fun, play some games. We're going to have all sorts of stuff going on that day. But wait, the madness doesn't just stop there. Let's us hang a corner right around July, about a couple weeks after that, after July 4th weekend, after you've eaten all that barbecue and stuff, you've spent that time with your family. July 9th, we're going to be holding another game day, but not in Columbia, South Carolina. We're going to be in Greenville, South Carolina at Boardwalk. That's right. Go on, find them. Find them on the web. Check it out. Meet us there. We're going to have all sorts of interesting stuff. We've got the away team going down there. We're going to be running games all day. Big shout out to Sam Sampson and Britt Gass out there in Greenville land. We're looking forward to hanging out with you guys for the day. So yeah, going out to Greenville. And I got a tip that there might be some game days coming up in Myrtle Beach shortly after that, a month or two after that. But I can't give the dates out on that. Just know to look out for that, and that's going to be a lot of fun as well. And hey, you guys waiting for your Pathfinder Society news? No worries. Del Collins and Matt Pekowski just made their way back from PaizoCon in Seattle. So they're a little tired. But when they get up to it again, when they regain their strength, we'll have them back on here. Maybe some other people. Who knows? To talk some more about Pathfinder Society. We need a name for that segment. It's pretty much going to be Del talking to some people. So what should we call it? Tell us what you think. Come up with a good name, a snappy name, and we'll work around that. Something to describe Del's Corner. But don't use Del's Corner because that sounds kind of lame. I should know I came up with it. So if you want Scarab at any of your events or do a game day at a store or something like that, let us know. You can email us through our website. You can hit us up on Facebook. You can contact Heck if you want to. You can email the Swarmcast at swarmcast@scarab. That's s-c-a-r-a-b.com. Let us know. But remember, we do need quite a bit of time to get any of that stuff ready. So don't tell us, hey, I'd really love you to come do a game day for us next weekend. That's just not going to happen, buddy, unless we really, really like you. No, wait, scratch that. I can't say that, because now people are going to get all judgy and stuff on us. Anyways, you get the idea.
That's it. That's the end of this episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. If you liked this, or even if you didn't, feel free to send us an email at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's s-c-a-r-a-b. Lots of little dashes in there. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. If you want us to read any of your comments on the show, let us know. Hey, subscribe to our show. Check out the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Or you can grab that new RSS feed from our website. You can get our website off of Facebook or off of Scarab's website. Ah, it's all a bunch of internet flibbity-jibbity. So, until next time, when you think of Scarab's Wormcast, think of this podcast. And when you think of Toast, think of me!
Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFightDragons at iFightDragons.com, MC Lars at MCLars.com, and Midnight Syndicate at MidnightSyndicate.com.
Living my dream. Can't believe all I done, can't believe all I seen. I just wanted to rap, make beats and travel. Stack up the words on the track like Scrabble. Spreading inspiration, that's what I do. And let the people know they can change the world too. One rhyme at a time, one track, one dream. It's not as difficult as you think it might seem. Working together, that's the key. Making art with my friends cause they're always there for me. And we all built this beat, sending files online. Jammed on the track and it sounded so fine. When the vision in our heads finally came together. Looping the samples cause we're all so clever. Thanks to everyone's talent, I couldn't go wrong. Props to anyone who helped crowdfund this song. This song. Crap on this song. Crap on this song. Crap on this song.
Together through collaboration, across many weeks, across many nations. We looped a lot of layers and had a lot of fun, lining everything up in Ableton. We had Andrew on the bass, Alan on the beats, Lauren on the flute with a melody so sweet, Joe on percussion while Brian did indeed, Rocket with the warm synth analog lead, with Adam and C. Scott David on the keys, Danielle joined Jake on the ukulele, while Lauren and Michael played saxophone, Taylor brought the flavor with a dope trombone, J-Star came hard with original sounds, Adam, Ren, and Brian, well, they all got down, doing vocals on the track, you know it was the bomb, thanks to everyone who helped crowdfund this song. This song. Crap on this song. Crap on this song. Crap on this song.
16 and we're glued to our screens.
And the Vines and the Tumblr and the Instagram memes.
And it seems as the world gets more connected,
the attention we had gets redirected.
Mark Zuckerberg, please don't enslave me.
ADD was the case that they gave
me. Because time's a commodity, ask Karl Marx.
I'd rather hear the bluebirds tweet in the park.
And don't get me wrong, I still post a haiku.
When I put my phone down when I drive, because my crew cares about my safety on the road. Don't want an accident or my car to get towed.
Responsibility, that's never whack.
So I make a little beat and I put it in a rap.
E minor CG, all my friends jam along.
Thanks to everyone who helped crowdfund this song.
Crap on this song. Crap on this song. Crap on this song. Crap on this song. Crap on this song. Crap on this song.